I'm on the phone with Alex Bradley right now, who's a member of the Pittsburgh organizing group and was involved in the mobilizations against the G20 when they met in Pittsburgh in September of 2009. So Alex, thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you.
I guess to start, we're gonna be talking today about the long-range acoustic devices, the sound cannons, as they could be called, that will be used in Toronto during the G20 meetings in later on this June. And of course, they were used in Pittsburgh during the G20 meetings there in September. So can you just tell me generally about the police use of the LRADs or the LRADs during the G20 meetings in Pittsburgh?
Okay, well, the group that you referenced that I was part of, the Pittsburgh G20 Resistance Project, had called for a 2:30 p.m. march on the first day of the G20, just to give people the context in which this occurred. And this was widely expected to be attacked by the police because it had not been sanctioned by the state, and its messaging was kind of against the very legitimacy of the meetings. And there was no kind of, organizers were not policing other protesters. And so there was about 1,000 people had set off from a park, and about within maybe 10 minutes of leaving the park, people were confronted by a line of police who immediately attacked the march with flashbang grenades and used the LRAD, which was basically mounted on the back of a truck and was blasting kind of pre-recorded dispersal messages, as well as using the weapon setting that kind of emits a series of loud continuous beeps at you. And then for about, I guess, the next 2 hours, there were clashes in two primary residential areas that this was happening at. There's a lot of hills and alleyways and stuff, and they were using the LRAD basically continuously in different parts of that, trying to pull it into alleys and beeping at people and hearing the dispersal things and stuff. Then about that night, police had attacked a large group of students at the local campus who basically were just milling around the campus, and they used the LRAD again there. So those were kind of the uses of it in Pittsburgh.
Okay, and were you there on any of those instances when they used the LRAD?
Oh, yeah, I participated in all of the G20 Resistance Project stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, we basically, if you were there, you experienced the LRAD.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so loud and it goes over such a long area that, if you were one of those 1,000 people, then you got some LRAD.
Mm. Can you talk a little bit about the effects of this weapon? Like, what does it actually feel like when it's being used?
Well, it's painful on the weapon setting. I'd say that it really depends how close you are to it. And because it's a line of sight weapon, if it's being specifically pointed at you, obviously it's going to be more painful. There's multiple settings with them that they can use in terms of how loud it is. So in Pittsburgh, they didn't use, I think they didn't use the two highest settings. So even with that, it's painful, it's disorienting. The context for us was also we had no idea it was going to be used or that it was an option to be used. The police had kind of deliberately spread a lot of misinformation to the press previously about how they were going to respond to demonstrations to try to convince people that they were going to use very different tactics than they ended up using. So when they first started using it, I mean, no one had earplugs, and everyone was kind of just like, what the heck is that? And then we're like, oh, it's LRAD. So,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, it is painful.
Would you say that, I mean, let's say from a police point of view, was it effective in dispersing crowds of protesters?
Not particularly. I think that's, there's a lot of indications that was kind of the local police's assessment as well, is that it wasn't really, as a weapon, it was kind of a staggering failure. I don't think it had really been used in large crowd situations before in the U.S., and so I'm not sure they realized what the result was going to be. It was kind of, no one was really sure, but for a lot of kind of obvious reasons, it just didn't really work at all. It didn't disperse people. It's hard to move around. When they started using it, people continuously advanced and just kept going, and then they used large amounts of pepper gas. So it didn't stop forward movement. People did things like pacifists like sat down when it was trying to move down a street, and even though they were getting blasted with it, they just sat there, and so then they had to turn it off rather than injure the people. And then the whole truck with LRAD had to stop, and then other cops had to come in. At one point in an alley, they brought it up, and a group, a small group basically, started to advance on the LRAD, clearly looking like they were going to attack it. And then a whole bunch of other cops had to be brought into the alley to protect it. But yeah, I mean, for lots of other reasons, it's just not very tactically effective. You can neutralize it with cheap earplugs. It's line of sight, so it's strongest against one particular area. If they use the highest settings, you've got really, really serious risks of injuries to people. And I think the important point with that is the state has very little control over who ends up getting injured. And just from a legal standpoint and kind of from a risk aversion standpoint, that's not really in the state's interest. There's also a problem they clearly ran into here is that it's a non-directed, it's basically a non-directed weapon. So if you put plainclothes or undercover police officers in a march, they're going to be exposed to it too. And there's a whole series of issues that are brought up for the state in terms of putting officers at risk, or they have to then have protection, in which case they can't hear, which also puts them at risk. I don't know if I could go on and on.
Yeah,
it's just really not a very effective tool.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the earplugs there, which brings me to my next question about demonstrators protecting themselves from this weapon. Do you know of people in Pittsburgh who used earplugs? And if so, were those effective in kind of countering the effects?
I mean, honestly, every single instance in which there was a couple times I was at the very front of the march, so about as close as people ended up getting to the LRAD when it was being used, and simply putting your fingers over your ears was enough to stay in the area. There were especially some medics who were carrying around earplugs anyway with them, probably in case of like flashbang grenades and stuff like that. With earplugs, any type of ear covering, at least on the settings it was used here, it's really just a simple nuisance. I mean, it's just like someone loudly yelling at you.
Mm-hmm. And do you know of any actual injuries that were caused as a result of the LRAD in Pittsburgh?
There was one woman who sustained a burst eardrum, from what we had heard, when the police, not at the march, but during the stuff around the campus, who I think was a university student or teacher. And yeah, her ear was injured in some way, but that was all that I know of.
Okay. And I guess finally, I mean, a lot of people here in Canada have been saying that the primary effectiveness of the LRAD has been kind of, a psychological weapon. There's been a lot of discussion in the media about it. It seems to be really, frightening people who are planning on going to Toronto to confront the G20. And I guess just, from your perspective, well, you already mentioned that it was a bit of a surprise. So I guess, was it not discussed in the media beforehand in Pittsburgh or in the U.S. that the police would be using that weapon?
No, no one even knew that they bought them, including, I think, numerous members of things like our local city council. I don't think they were aware. There was a large budget here, I guess, like, not compared to you all's, but, I mean, they spent maybe $17 million here, and so they had a lot of funds from the feds that used to purchase weapons, and no one here knew essentially that they'd even bought them. But yeah, I mean, clearly, I guess from my perspective, it's being used. It's obviously not going to be a surprise to people in Toronto because mm-hmm. there is a lot of discussion. But it's primarily a psychological weapon, especially I think given their awareness of its tactical and operational limitations. The only explanation I can think of in reading a lot of stories that have come up there is that they've decided other forms of violence are preferred, and that this is kind of a way to discourage people from attending the events by amping up the fear factor and using the LRAD to frame the debate around the state's use of violence by kind of providing this way that they can give kind of meaningless concessions to liberals concerned with civil liberties and stuff, like basically creating a situation where they can say, well, at least we didn't have to use the LRAD, or, well, we won't use the LRAD's weapon settings. At the same time, there's very little discussion of the actual police weapons, such as horses, dogs, bikes uses weapons, pepper gas, tear gas, tasers, all the kinds of stuff that historically have actually injured hundreds of people and have and are continuously used by the state to repress dissent. And I think that this is a kind of convenient way for them to avoid any discussion of that by switching the debate to be around something else that, even if it's used, is not going to play a large role in how things go.
All right. Well, that was all the questions I had. So again, we've been speaking with Alex Bradley, who's an activist from Pittsburgh, a member of the Pittsburgh organizing group, and he was involved in the mobilizations against the G20 in Pittsburgh in September 2009. Alex, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you, Aaron, and obviously best wishes to everyone taking to the streets in resistance in Toronto.